The second Aliyah of Parshas Toldos is part of the very little that we know about Yitzchak's life. And Rav Soloveitchik, in his drashas, suggested that the reason we're told so little about Yitzchak's life is connected to the fact that Yitzchak represents the midah of Gvura, and in contrast to his father, Avram, who was associated with the midah of chesed, which is expansive and bring others in. So that we get told a lot about. So we hear a lot about Avram's life, but Yitzchak is the midah of gvura. That involves tzimtzum, being withdrawn. And we don't get to know a lot about Yitzchak. Yitzchak is mysterious. Yitzchak is reclusive. So we are told a little bit about Yitzchak's life, and this is a part of what we know about him, his time in Gerar. And he has an incident involving his wife Rivka, which is very similar to the incident that Avram had involving his wife Sarah. And as with that story, Yitzchak has to pass off his wife Rivka as if he is his sister, so that the people there shouldn't want to kill him in order to take her. So the pasuk tells us, "Vayishalu anshe hamakom liishto, vayomer achosihi ki arei lemor ishti pen yaharguni anshe hamakom al Rivka ki tovas marehi." So Ibn Ezra notes that the pasuk here, in telling us that he was afraid to say that she was his wife, he doesn't say that he said he was afraid. And perhaps we have to fill that in. But there are others who suggest that it's specifically precise that this phrase was left out, because maybe, for example, that's not the meaning of the pasuk. So among those commentaries was the Mariel Diskin, has an interesting interpretation where he suggests that actually this was all part of what Yitzchak said to the people, that he wanted to minimize how much falsehood he actually was conveying. So he said all of this out loud, but he said the last part as if it was a sarcastic statement. And essentially what he was saying was, yes, this is my sister. Of course, I couldn't say that she's my wife, because if I would tell you she was my wife, you might kill me in order to take her. So clearly, she's my sister. So he's saying only true things there with that second half, but he's phrasing it in such a way so that they won't take it seriously, so that they won't actually kill him. But he's actually saying the truth out loud in order to minimize how much falsehood he has to say. A very fascinating interpretation. And there's another interpretation, which is connected to a discussion the Ramah has in his Tshuvas. The Ramah in Siman Beis in his Tshuvas discusses the halachic concern that was relevant to Yitzchak, that he notes that when there is a halachic presumption that is created, a chazaka, that becomes the public perception, so that creates a halachic reality. So if people got the impression that Rivka actually was his sister, so then that would create a halachic reality, and she would indeed be prohibited to him. So that would create a halachic problem. So what would resolve that problem? The answer is, if there is an amasla, if there is a self-evident explanation as to why he would be representing her as his sister, so then that would cancel out the achazaka. And in this case, indeed, there is such a self-evident explanation, and that is the fact that he was afraid that these people would kill him in order to take her, because she was Tovas Mareh. So the halacha is being reflected here, that because it is such a clear and evident explanation, it doesn't have to be said out loud. So therefore, the Torah doesn't tell us that he actually said that out loud, because he didn't, because it didn't need to be, because indeed, that's the din, that when the explanation is so clear and so compelling, it doesn't have to be expressed, and that amasla of that type is able to cancel out the chazaka, and indeed Yitzchak didn't find himself in that situation where he became actually prohibited to her because of this chazaka, because this evidence, amasla, was able to cancel that out, and he didn't need to actually say it out loud. There's another interesting halachic detail here that is reflected in the language of this pasuk. The Brisker Rav noted that apparently the ones who were asking about the status of this woman, was she his wife or his sister, it was the Anshe HaMakom. It wasn't Avimelech himself. It wasn't the king. And the Brisker Rav explains that this relates to past history. That in the case of Sarah, in the case of his mother, Avram's wife, so Avimelech did ask about that. And this is the subject of a whole discussion the Gemara has in Maseches Makos on Daf Tes, concerning a person who is an Omer Mutter. And if somebody tells himself something is permitted, that the facts of a situation or the halach of a certain situation allows him to do what he wants to do. So how do we look at that? Do we look at that such an individual is a shogeg because he doesn't know that what he's doing is wrong? Or do we look at it that the person is amazed because he should have understood, he should have been more careful and looked into the situation and realized that what he's doing is prohibited? So in that context, the Gemara discusses Avimelech with Sarah and the fact that he asks Avram, who is this person? Is this your wife or is this your sister? And that question was a red flag to Avram. That put him on his guard. It made him realize that there's something to worry about here and made him feel he had to protect himself. And therefore, Avimelech learned from that. And in this case, he doesn't even ask the question. So it's up to the other people to ask the question. And that reflects the fact that somebody who wants to sin, who wants to make a mistake, so to speak, is able to delude himself, and therefore, even if he thinks he's an Omer Mutter, even if he thinks he's telling himself it's okay, but really, deep down, he knows that there's something he should be looking into more carefully, and that's an insight both into halacha and into human psychology that is contained within this pasuk. But Kadosh Baruch Hu works it out that one way or another, he does find out the truth, and somehow he's able to see. It's a whole discussion why it is that he's able to see what's going on and to recognize that this is actually Yitzchak's wife and not his sister. Nicholas understands that perhaps there was a crack in the wall. The Lev Eliyahu has the whole sicha here about how just how tzaddikim are be able to be connected to holiness, so too those who are not tzaddikim are able to be connected in other ways and able to find out things they wouldn't otherwise know. So he was able to realize that this was indeed Yitzchak's wife, so he is saved from making a big mistake here, and he expresses his anger to Yitzchak, and he says, look what could have happened to me here. But indeed, he then tells the people that they should leave Yitzchak and Rivka alone, and following that, so Yitzchak has great success. So the pasuk tells us, Vayizra Yitzchak ba'aretz ahi, vayimsa bashana ahi, me'esh arim, vayivarchehu Hashem. So Yitzchak plants, and he is able to find great success in his planting, that whatever he measures and whatever he expects, it's actually 100 times that. And this idea of measuring was actually for the purpose of giving maestros. The Tosefta in Maseches Brachos, in Perek Vav, Yud Gimel, 6:13, tells us that Yitzchak made a drasha on himself, that he understood that the bracha that was going to come to him had to happen through his effort, that he had to actually do the planting himself. The Torah Tamima suggests that maybe there was some kind of hekesh, some type of a connection to the fact that he was given a bracha also that he would have a lot of children, but he knows that that requires the effort towards puravu. So too, the bracha that he would have great success in material, so that would require that he should do effort towards that also, that he should plant. His Naim Latoro also adds that he wanted his family to understand that they would be safe in Gaulis from any concerns about his success, that people shouldn't think that he was living on the cheshbon of others. They should see that he was actually putting in the work. And indeed, there was this great success to what he was doing, 100 times what he was expecting. Here, this phrase, 100 sha'arim, Shem Shem Rafal Hirsch translates it as 100 markets, 100 times. And the Targum Yonason adds in also that Vayizra the tzedkasa, that he was doing this for the purpose of being able to give it for tzedakah. And Svarno comments that even though we have an idea that whatever is measured isn't normally going to be a source of bracha, that we're supposed to preserve a little mystery if we want something to be blessed, but he's teaching us a halacha here that if we want to give maestris, so we have to be able to know what the measurements are. So therefore he measured for that purpose. And the Rambam in Hilchos Malachim, the beginning of Perek Tes, Halacha Aleph in Hilchos Malachim, so the Rambam says, it gives the whole development of different mitzvahs of who added what. And in that context, he says that Yitzchak added the mitzvah of maestros, not as an obligation, but as a practice. And the Ravid critiques this because the Ravid says he wasn't the first to do this. Avram already does this in Parshas Lech Lecha. The pasuk says regarding Avram, "Vayitein lo ma'aser mikol," that after the war, so Avram gave a ma'aser of everything that was brought to him. So the Kesef Mishnah suggests that that wasn't actually ma'aser, that that was just something that he wanted to do to honor Malki Tzedek. And the Radbaz points out that maybe that's really different because we generally assume that ma'aser is only obligatory on produce and not on all property that one has. So this is actually connected to the whole discussion regarding ma'aser k'safim, that many assume that the idea of bringing ma'aser k'safim, of giving a tenth of what one has to tzedakah, is probably a minig. It's probably a very laudable practice that one takes on as a custom. It's not necessarily an obligation, as the Bach points out, probably not midrabanan or min ha-Torah. However, there are those who disagree. There's a Tosfos in Maseches Tainis on Daf Tes, the Taz in his commentary to Yerudei in Shin Lamed Aleph also takes this position that the idea of Ma'aser K'safim is connected to the general notion of Ma'aser. So that seems to be connected here also. So if Avram gave Ma'aser, so he was giving Ma'aser from general property. So if you're going to count that, as the Ravid is saying, so then you're assuming that there's a connection between the two. But if you're assuming that Yitzchak was the first to bring Ma'aser, that we're not counting what Avram brought, so then maybe that's because we're assuming that the only real obligation of Ma'aser is on Tvua and is not on all the property that you have. But one way or another, so Yitzchak is credited with bringing Ma'aser, and that was a source of tremendous chus for him, and that was a source of bracha. And the Novominsky Rebbe pointed out that the Kedushas Levi, Reb Levi Yitzchak Berdichev, in his Sefer, in Parshas Re'eh, so he commented on the pasuk Aser Taser Eskol Tvua Saracha, that when somebody gives Ma'aser, so Kol, so all of it is considered to be a part of the mitzvah, so next year he should have 10 times as much, so that he's able to give the equivalent of all of that to tzedakah. So that's what the pasuk is indicating here, Me'esh Arim, so all of that now is multiplied, and that's all considered to be a part of his chus, and this is all a part of the lesson and the model that Yitzchak is providing for future generations.